Now we continue last week. Oh, how great grace it is to have a spiritual director. One makes more rapid progress in virtue, sees the will of God more clearly, fulfills it more faithfully, and follows a road that is sure and free of dangers. The director knows how to avoid the rocks against which the soul could be shattered. The Lord gave me this grace rather late, to be sure, but rejoiced it greatly, seeing how God inclines his will to my director's wishes. I will mention just one incident out of a thousand that have happened to me. As I usually do, I ask the Lord Jesus one evening to give me the points for next day's meditation. I received the answer: meditate on the prophet Jonah and his mission. I thank the Lord, but began to think within myself of how different that subject was from the others. But with all my soul, I strove to meditate about it, and I recognized myself in the person of the prophet, in the sense that often I, too, try to make excuses to the Lord, claiming that someone else would do his holy will better than I could, and not understanding that God can do all things and that his omnipotence will be all the more manifest if the tool is poorer. God made this clear to me in the following way. That afternoon, there was confession for the community. When I presented to the director of my soul, the fear that seized me began because of this mission for which God was using me, comes it to that I was, my spiritual father answered that, willing or not, we must carry out the will of God. And he gave me the prophet Jonah as an example. So he didn't know that he has to meditate on Jonah. So the spiritual director gave him exactly the same prophet to meditate. After the confession, I wondered how the confessor knew that God had told me to meditate about Jonah. Surely I myself had not told him. Then I heard these words: when a priest acts in my place, he does not act of himself, but I act through him. His wishes are mine. That's a mystery. That's our belief. You call confession not to the priest, to Jesus Christ. And he himself who is hearing you, teaching you. Maybe sometimes the priest says something that he might never thought of. That's Jesus. The Holy Spirit is working through. I can see how Jesus defends his representatives. He himself enters into their actions. How nice, if you do the will of God always, God is always with you. Stand on your side. Thursday, when I started the holy hour, I wanted to immerse myself in the agony of Jesus in the Garden of Olives. Then I heard the voice in my soul: meditate on the mystery of the incarnation. And suddenly the infant Jesus appeared before me, radiant with beauty. He told me how much God is pleased with simplicity in a soul. Baby Jesus, simplicity. He told me how much God is pleased with the simplicity in a soul. Although my greatness is beyond understanding, I commune one only with those who are little. I demand of you a childlike spirit. The spirit of St. Teresa of Lisieux, no? The way of the baby Jesus. I now see clearly how God acts through the confessor and how faithfully he keeps his promise. 2 weeks ago, my confessor told me to reflect upon this spiritual childhood. I was somewhat difficult at first, but my confessor, disregarding my difficulties, told me to continue to reflect upon spiritual childhood. In practice, this spiritual childhood, he said, should manifest itself in this way. A child does not worry about the past or the future, but make sure of the present moment. I want to emphasize that spiritual childlikeness in you, sister, and I place great stress upon it. So the spiritual director pushed her to practice this virtue of childlike spirituality. I can see how God bows down to my confessor's wishes. He does not show himself to me at this time as a teacher in the fullness of his strength and human utterhood, but as a little child. The God who is beyond all understanding stoops to me under the appearance of a little child. So this has appeared not quite a few times, huh? Even in the Blessed Sacrament, sometimes the baby Jesus is there. She sees Jesus, baby Jesus, in tabernacle. And the eye of my soul does not stop at this appearance. Although you take the form of a little child, I see in you the immortal, infinite Lord of Lords, whom pure spirits adore and knights, and for whom the hearts of the seraphim burn with the fire of purest love. O Christ, O Jesus, I want to surpass them in my love for you. I apologize to you, O pure spirits, for my boldness in comparing myself to you. I, these chimps of mystery, this abyss of mystery, and you, O God, who are the incomprehensible abyss of mercy, swallow me up as the heat of the sun swallows up a drop of dew. A loving look from you will fill up any abyss. I feel immensely happy at the greatness of God. Seeing God's greatness is more than enough to make me happy throughout all eternity. Once, when I saw Jesus in the form of a small child, I asked, Jesus, why do you now take on the form of a child when you commune with me? In spite of this, I still see in you the infinite God, my Lord and Creator. Jesus replied that until I learned simplicity and humility, he will commune with me as a little child. With that simplicity, see things with the eye of a child. What Jesus mentioned, a lot of past, a lot of future, but the present moment. Trust. This is childlike. Can we practice this? Not all the time, huh? So much worries about things in the Philippines, things with your friends, you know, it disturbs us quite a lot at times. But we trust. Jesus knows them. Jesus will give you a helping hand. But first of all, you yourself must be faithful to him, first of all. Otherwise, you speak so much energy to think, and then you don't have energy to be present. You never live the present moment well. Always live in the future or something in the past. During the Holy Mass, when the Lord Jesus was exposed in the Blessed Sacrament, before Holy Communion, I saw two rays coming out from the Blessed Host. Just as they are painted in the image, one of them red and the other pale. And they were reflected on each of the scissors and warts, but not on all in the same way. I saw then the rays were barely visible. It was the last day of children's retreat. So you see, November 22nd, 1934. On one occasion, my spiritual director, Father Sopuku, told me to look carefully into myself and to examine whether I had any attachments to some particular object or creature, or even to myself, or whether I engaged in useless chatter. For all these things, he said, get in the way of the Lord Jesus, who wants complete freedom in directing your soul. God is jealous of our hearts and wants us to love him alone. give all the space to Jesus. When you, especially in the chapel, give all space to Jesus. When I started to look deep to myself, within myself, I did not find any attachment to anything. But as in all things that concern me, so also in this matter, I was afraid and distrustful for myself. Tired out by this detailed self-examination, I went before the Blessed Sacrament and I asked Jesus with all my heart, Jesus, my spouse, treasure of my heart, you know that I know you alone and that I have no one, no other love but you. But Jesus, if I were about to become attached to anything that is not you, I beg and entreat you, Jesus, by the power of your mercy, let instant death descend upon me. For I prefer to die 1,000 times than to be unfaithful to you once in even the smallest thing. So she can't find out anything. Distracted her. So she tells Jesus, if really I something, just little thing, let me die. At that moment, Jesus suddenly stood before me, coming, I know not from where, radiant with unbelievable beauty, clothed in the white garment, with unlifted arms. And he spoke these words to me, my daughter, your heart is my repose. It is my delight I find in everything that is refused me by so many souls. Tell this to my representative. I say again, my daughter, your heart is my repose. Jesus can rest in her heart. It is my delight. I find in it everything that is refused me by so many souls. So because so many other people doesn't accept Jesus, so I find in Jesus finding her the solidarity. This is looking for love and no love around. Tell this to my representative. And an instant later, I saw nothing but a whole ocean of consolations entered my soul. I know now that nothing can put a stop to my love for you, Jesus. Neither suffering, nor adversity, nor fire, nor the sword, nor death itself. I feel stronger than all these things. Nothing can compare with love. I see that the smallest things done by a soul that loves God and sincerity have an anonymous, enormous value in his holy eyes. So with the love of God, do things for him, in him, with him only. And it pleases Jesus. November 5th, 1934. One morning when it was my duty to open the gates to let out the people who leave for baked goods, I entered the little chapel to visit Jesus for a minute and to renew the intentions of the day. Today, Jesus, I offer you all my sufferings, mortifications, and prayers for the intention of the Holy Father, so that he may approve the feast of mercy. But Jesus, I have one more word to say to you. I am very surprised that you bid me to talk about this feast of mercy, for they tell me that there is already such a feast. And so why should I talk about it? I think what they mean is the Feast of Blessed, or the Sacred Heart of Jesus, you know, by it's the time, St. Margaret of the Rakop, France, already, you know. So this, it kind of duplicate. And for them it's funny to ask to paint a picture with those rays. For them, they can't accept. No. And Jesus said to me, And who knows anything about this feast? No one. No one understands. Even those who should be proclaiming my mercy and teaching people about it often do not know about it themselves. So, including myself, I preach, but I don't know. That is why I want the image to be solemnly blessed on the first Sunday after Easter. And I want it to be venerated publicly so that every soul may know about it, the mercy of God. Divine mercy. Make it a winner for the Holy Father's intention. It should consist of 33 acts, that is, repetition, the many times of the short prayer which I have taught you to the Divine Mercy. You see, no one understands. Suffering is the greatest treasure on earth. It purifies the soul. In suffering, we learn who our true friend is. True love is measured by the thermometer of suffering. Jesus, I thank you for the little daily crosses, for opposition to my endeavors, for the hardships of communal life, for the misinterpretation of my intentions, for humiliations at the hands of others, for the harsh ways in which we are treated, for false suspicions, for our poor health and loss of strength, for self-denial, for dying to myself, for lack of recognition in everything, for the upsetting of all my plans. So all these negative things, it's a joy for her to share the beauty of suffering. At times we refuse suffering, but for her, it's a joy because we share life with Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for interior sufferings, for dryness of spirit, for terrors, fears, and incertitudes, for the darkness and the deep interior night, for temptations and various ordeals, for torments too difficult to describe, especially for those which no one will understand, for the hour of death with its fierce struggle and all its bitterness. I thank you, Jesus, you who first drank the cup of bitterness before you gave it to me in a much milder way. I put my lips to this cup of your holy will, that all be done according to your good pleasure, that which your wisdom ordains before the ages be done to me. I want to drink the cup to its last drop, and not seek to know the reasons why. So many times we are, why it happened this way or that way, why they treat me in this way and that way. She didn't ask why. Just to share the drop of the cup of Jesus. And she said, it's a minor way. In bitterness is my joy. In hopelessness is my trust. In you, O Lord, all is good, all is gifts of your paternal heart. I do not prefer consolations over bitterness or bitterness over consolations. But thank you, Jesus, for everything. Now I say again, I do not prefer consolations over bitterness or bitterness over consolations. But thank you, Jesus, for everything. It is my delight to fix my gaze upon you, O incomprehensible God. My spirit abides in these mysterious dwelling place, and there I am at home. I know very well the dwelling place of my spouse. I feel there is not a single drop of blood in me that does not burn with love for you. Completely for Jesus only. Oh, uncreated beauty, whoever comes to know you once cannot love anything else. I can feel the bottomness of this of my soul, and nothing will fill it but God himself. I feel that I am drowned in him, lay a single grain of sand in a bottomless ocean. December 20th, 1934. One evening as I entered my cell, I saw the Lord Jesus exposed in a monstrance under the open sky. And it seemed At the feet of Jesus, I saw my confessor, and behind him, a great number of the highest ranking ecclesiastics, clothed in vestments, the like of which I had never seen except in this vision. And behind them, groups of religious from various orders. And further still, I saw enormous crowds of people which extend far beyond my vision. I saw the two rays coming out from the host, as in the image, closely united, but not intermingled. And it passed through the hands of my confessor, and then through the hands of the clergy, and from the hands of the people, and then they returned to the host. And at that moment, I saw myself once again in the cell which I had just entered. I say again, this image is very interesting. One evening, as I entered my cell, I saw Jesus, the Lord Jesus, exposed in the monstrance under the open sky. It's a vision in the sky, as it seemed. At the feet of Jesus, I saw my confessor, and behind him, a great number of the highest ranking of ecclesiastics, cardinals, bishops, clothed in vestment, the like of which I had never seen except in this vision. And behind them, groups of religious from various orders, Dominicans, Franciscans, Salesians, what else? And various orders. And further still, I saw in enormous crowds of people which extend far beyond my vision. We are there in the vision. We exist already, although we are not born yet. In God's eye is always existing. I saw the two rays coming out from the host as in the image, close united, but not mingled. So they're close to one another, but not mingled. No? And they pass through the hands of my confessor. So the rays go to the hand of Father Sopuko, and then through the hands of the clergy, the clerics, ecclesiastic clerics, the cardinals, the bishops, and then they return to the host. And at that moment, I saw myself once again in the cell which I had just entered. So good today. So we experience this heavenly experience that Jesus, you know, really enjoyed to be with us in his mercy. No one knows, not even the priest, not even the cardinal. Nobody knows. That's how beautiful we are, so blessed to share this kind of private inspiration from Jesus to us. The sins, it's a private inspiration. It's a gift. It's not only for yourself. You have to live. If not by not living, doesn't have anything. Just thoughts. But we have to, like Faustina, no. Simplicity, like a child, not living but the past, the future, but the present moment. Always try to tell yourself that to live the present moment. And this one is the time that we encounter Christ. No matter you're talking to someone, doing household work, you're always Christ in you, with this love for you, with the heart of a child, simplicity. Don't judge so much. If you say you're judged, remember this cup. Jesus himself already been judged. You just share in a mild way. Don't tell yourself, I'm so bad. Wow. They don't treat me well. Believe Jesus knows you. He share this with you. They will be just with joy. What Faustina say, everything, whatever is suffering, is my joy. Always, always believing the love of God. Forever. So this is how you have to live this week. Always with the joyful heart, with a simple heart, with a childlike heart. Live. That is Faustina. We learn from her. Okay.